朋友们，大家好，欢迎收看《美国观察》。正在希腊访问的美国国务卿蓬佩奥星期二表示，欢迎希腊加入清洁网络，并且警告中国共产党正在这个地区试图以经济实力获取对欧洲民主国家的影响力。下面我们来看美国之音常驻国务院记者张荣香的报道。
美国国务卿蓬佩奥对希腊的访问正值希腊以及土耳其之间的紧张关系由于争夺地中海东部的能源权益而持续升温之际，这位美国首席外交官敦促两个北约成员国尽快通过外交对话，和平解决这个地区的海空权力声索争端以及地区自然资源开发的危机。希腊被视为中国“一带一路”战略中与欧洲国家合作最稳固的桥头堡。中国在2009年希腊债务危机的时候，曾经以大笔资金购买希腊的国债，中远集团因此赢得了比雷埃夫斯港35年的特许经营权。蓬佩奥警告了共产中国对这个地区的企图。
I raise the Chinese Communist Party's attempts to use economic power here and in the region to gain strategic leverage over European democracies. We are very proud.The Prime Minister Mitsotakis and his team are developing and promoting Greece's digital frontier, including on 5G. And we're happy that they have joined the Clean Network as well.
与此同时，美国国务院主管经济增长、能源及环境事务的副国务卿克拉奇，这个星期继续对欧盟访问，在欧洲推进清洁网络的全球性倡议。美国今年早些时候发布净网行动。在电信运营商、移动应用程序、应用程序商店、网络云服务和海底电缆五大领域全面清除不受信任的中国设备和技术产品，并且呼吁各国效仿。到目前为止，美国的这项倡议看来在欧洲和世界各地得到了广泛和积极的响应。以上是美国之音常驻国务院记者张荣香的报道。
美国驻华大使布兰斯塔德将在这个周末离任。在周二的一场记者会上，他表示，美国和中国的关系非常的珍贵，但是维持这段关系需要保持对等和平衡。
即将离任的美国驻华大使布兰斯塔德表示，特朗普行政当局在贸易问题上取得了进展，并希望在其他领域也同样取得进展。但是他也表示，中国在对美国压力做出反应的时候总是以牙还牙，无论是关闭总领馆还是加征进口关税。他表示，不幸的是，我们在尽力实现双边关系再平等，实现公平和对等，但每次我们有所行动，他们都会继续保持失衡状态。不过布兰斯塔德依然认为这种长期关系是珍贵的。他说2017年他去北京工作后跟习近平有过数次会面。2018年初他还带着女儿和外孙到习近平家里做客。他说，我觉得习近平仍然对我、对爱荷华州有着很好的感情，就像我们对他的感情一样。我发现在这个文化中私交很重要，但我是美国的代表。布兰斯塔德将于这个周末离开北京，返回他的家乡爱荷华州。目前白宫还没有人提出继任者的人选。美国之音新闻报道。
美国总统特朗普赞扬了美国的新冠检测能力，并且表示本周会向各地发放快速检测剂。另一方面，副总统彭斯表示，政府已经做好了准备，迎接寒冷气候可能带来的病例数量上升。来看报道。
特朗普总统周一大加称赞了行政当局的新冠病毒检测能力，并说这是全世界最先进的检测系统。特朗普在玫瑰花园宣布，联邦政府在本周会向各州发放新冠病毒快速检测剂，并敦促州长们利用这些检测剂向从幼儿园到12年级的学生重新开放学校。特朗普称，美国比其他国家做的检测要多得多，经常是2、3、4、5、6倍的数量。目前每天确诊的新冠病毒数量依然很高，超过4万例。专家表示，随着寒冷季节的到来，感染的数量有可能上升。尽管特朗普积极赞扬他的行政当局所取得的进步， 副总统彭斯还是谈到了当前所面临的现实，他提到有至少十个州的确诊数量出现了上升。彭斯还说，不过副总统对此保持了积极态度，坚称政府已经准备好处理上升的病例数量。
We're ready. As we proved through the outbreak in the Sun Belt this summer, we'll make sure that any community, any state that's impacted with rising cases, any school that's impacted, will have the PPE, will have the supplies, will have the medicines.
随后，特朗普再次表示，美国针对病毒的抗击已经快要胜利了，并补充说，疫苗就快好了。美国之音电视报道。
美国总统大选的第一场辩论即将拉开帷幕，共和党的特朗普以及民主党的拜登都做好了准备，回应选民关心的议题，比如新冠病毒疫情以及种族问题。
美国2020年的总统大选第一场电视辩论会于9月29号星期二的晚上在克里夫兰市举办，那么由福克斯新闻网的主播华勒斯主持，双方竞选阵营都在积极的准备。特朗普总统在星期二的时候呢，除了前往参加辩论会之外，没有其他的公开行程。白宫发言人麦肯纳尼星期二上午在白宫告诉记者们，今晚很重要，今天不会有新闻简报会，全部都关注辩论。而民主党的拜登今天的行程也只有辩论会，不过星期二的上午，他的竞选阵营推出了英语以及西班牙语的双语竞选广告。拜登的竞选阵营表示，这支新广告是要彰显拉丁裔族群所做的贡献，以及他要带动经济繁荣的计划。星期二晚上的电视辩论会预计将会聚焦六大主题，分别是特朗普与拜登过去的记录。主持人华勒斯将会针对特朗普总统过去三年的施政、当总统之前的记录，还有拜登担任过联邦参议员还有副总统长达47年的政治生涯当中所留下的记录来询问他们。此外，最高法院也是主题之一。特朗普总统呢提名了联邦上诉法院的法官艾米·康尼·巴雷特来接替已故大法官露丝·贝德金斯伯格。那参议院预计在10月12号将会召开听证会。那目前是由共和党居多数，那所以说有可能就可以通过这个任命。而大法官的人选呢将会影响未来几十年的美国法庭，同时也是选民关注的焦点。第三个主题将会关注在新冠疫情。截至9月29号辩论会的当天呢，美国境内新型冠状病毒的确诊人数为716万5千人，而死亡人数约205000人。目前有四家与美国政府合作的制药公司的疫苗进入的实验最后阶段，分别是莫德纳、辉瑞与牛津大学合作的阿斯特捷利康以及强生公司。第四个主题将会聚焦在经济。美国的这个联储会 Fed 在9月28号发表报告，2010年到2019年期间，一般美国家庭的收入提高了 5%， 平均年收入为58500美金。而美国劳工部在9月24号也公布，9月19号截止的那一周，有87万人申请失业救济。而劳工部在9月4号公布，美国现在的失业率是 8.4%。第五个主题将会聚焦在美国城市的种族和暴力。弗洛伊德之死在美国各地都引发了有关于社会正义的抗议活动。而今年3月，黑人的急救医务人员布伦纳·泰勒在家中熟睡时，因为警察的一项行动而死亡。9月23号，大陪审团决定不对涉事的警察提起他杀的指控，这导致了美国的一些抗议活动再度的爆发。美国现在部分地区呢持续的抗议，有些抗议活动转为暴力，也引发了警民的冲突。最后的一个关注的焦点呢，今天晚上辩论会将会来讨论选举的公正性。目前有一些美国的州因为因应疫情已经采取全面邮寄选票，不过特朗普总统认为邮寄选票将会造成舞弊。而第一夫人梅拉尼亚 在今天晚上将会陪同特朗普总统前往辩论会的现场。拜登的夫人吉尔·拜登博士呢，将会先前往密西根州会晤美国农场主，之后与前民主党的总统参选人彼得·布塔贾吉的丈夫钱斯德·布塔贾吉一起参加选民的动员活动。钱斯德·布塔贾吉以及吉尔·拜登两个人都是老师。那么晚上呢，吉尔·拜登会再前往辩论会的现场。副总统彭斯星期二则是先与参议院的多数党领袖麦康奈尔一同会见特朗普总统提名的大法官人选巴雷特，下午前往宾州进行造势活动。而拜登的竞选副手哈里斯参议员则将参加这个选举的募款活动。目前我们知道呢，总统的电视辩论会将会举办三场，包括今天晚上的第一场，而副总统的辩论会会有一场。以上是美国之音白宫记者黄耀毅发自白宫的报道。
美国总统大选的首场辩论即将登场，美国之音将在美东时间9月29号晚上8:45到10:45为您现场直播实况，并且会在辩论结束后带您回顾与分析两位总统候选人的对华政策以及辩论的精彩瞬间，敬请关注。在第一次总统大选辩论的前夕，特朗普总统的最高法院大法官的人选以及邮寄投票是否会引起舞弊等议题成为了两党候选人关注的重点。
特朗普总统周日否认了《纽约时报》关于他身为一名身价亿万的房地产开发商，却在过去的15年中有10年逃避缴纳任何联邦所得税的报道，并在2016年和2017年白宫任职的第一年仅支付了$750的联邦税。
Totally fake news. No, actually, I paid tax, but and you'll see that as soon as my tax returns are, it's under audit. They've been under audit for a long time. The IRS does not treat me well.
民主党总统候选人拜登的竞选阵营则登出一则广告，对比美国总统缴纳的低额税款，一般美国工薪阶层如教师、护士，却缴纳成千上万美金的税金。税务问题成为新的焦点，可能导致总统在周二晚上举行的第一次辩论中处于防御状态。这两位主要的候选人将在俄亥俄州的克利夫兰举行第一次的总统大选辩论。拜登一直试图将竞选活动的火力集中于他所声称的特朗普未能有效遏制致命的新冠病毒大流行，而在全国造成超过20万人的死亡。特朗普则为政府为大流行病做出的反应辩护，并质疑邮寄投票的合法性，因为民意调查显示，由于新冠病毒，民主党人士愿意寄出缺席选票的人数比共和党人多上许多。特朗普任命联邦上诉法院法官艾米·康尼·巴雷特来填补自由派大法官金斯伯格去世后留下的最高法院空缺时，还标榜他如何建立一个保守派占多数的法院，来保护枪支拥有者的权利，并限制合法堕胎。拜登和民主党人则警告支持者，保守的法院可能会限制妇女的权利、同性婚姻以及推翻扩大的联邦医疗保障。
It's no mystery about what's happening here. President Trump is trying to throw out the Affordable Care Act.He's been trying to do it for the last 4 years. The Republican Party has been trying to eliminate it for a decade.
然而，分析人士说，对特朗普的持续关注可能对其竞选不利。特朗普的竞选试图使拜登的能力成为一个问题，并将他的政策描绘成社会主义和激进。
The Trump campaign has failed in making this a choice election. They have not been able to elevate.The questions around Joe Biden's candidacy and potential presidency.
星期二的辩论将为两位候选人在距离选举只剩几周的时间里提供转变竞选态势的重大机会。美国之音记者帕登，华盛顿报道。
随着2020年美国总统大选进入了冲刺阶段，十月惊奇这个词也越来越频繁地出现在人们的讨论之中。而今年是否会出现和中国相关的十月惊奇呢？我们一起来看看美国之音记者平章的报道。
随着2020年美国总统大选进入最后的冲刺阶段，十月惊奇这个词越来越频繁地出现在讨论当中。作为美国政治选举当中的一个术语，十月惊奇指的是在11月初的投票日前夕突发的，有可能会对选举产生重大影响的事件。鉴于特朗普和拜登在这届选战当中在中国议题上多有交锋，那么今年是否会出现跟中国相关的十月惊奇呢？
It's also worth, of course, being imaginative during this time, because we have already seen so many developments in the U.S.-China relationship that might once have seemed inconceivable. And we have, obviously, a hyper-politicized environment in which nothing can be ruled out. And so I think it's worth discussing, but probably unlikely, given the fact that, among other things, the administration is very busy focusing on all of the crises at hand and, of course, the upcoming election.
Politico 和清晨咨询公司在9月11日到14日所进行的一项联合民调显示，在几大选举议题当中，中国议题在美国选民心目当中的重要性排在最末位。在近2000名受访的注册选民当中，只有 35% 的人认为中国议题对于他们的投票决定非常重要。这一比例在民主党选民当中是 29%， 在共和党选民中是 47%。 相比而言，经济、医保和新冠疫情是最有决定性的大选议题，认为他们非常重要的选民均达到了 70% 以上。因此，有分析人士认为，特朗普和拜登的竞选团队都不太可能刻意地制造跟中国相关的十月惊奇来提振自身的选情。不过，也有分析人士认为，虽然中国议题在美国选民心目当中并不是最重要的，但是如今中国议题跟其他更受关注的议题，比如说新冠疫情和经济交织在一起，这使得中国议题在美国选战的最后阶段还是会不断地出现。
One pollster I talked to named Frank Luntz had an interesting perspective. He said that although the China issue is not the most important to American voters, nonetheless, Trump may try to continue to run on that issue because he polls well on that issue. So he is viewed a little bit favorably to Biden in terms of his ability to handle China. So he might press that advantage. So then it makes me think, okay,if there is an October surprise, if the Trump administration and Republican strategists have determined that the China issue is a live issue, then it's not hard to believe.
威尔特还认为，今年是否会出现跟中国相关的十月惊奇，不仅仅取决于华盛顿，还取决于北京是否会在美国的总统大选之前采取扰乱选举的行为。尽管威尔特认为北京这么做的可能性并不大。
Beijing could be doing itself a serious strategic disservice if it seemed that it was trying to put a thumb on the scale, and it would face tremendous blowback from whichever candidate is elected.
Politico 近日向多位中国问题专家询问，如果出现了跟中国相关的十月惊奇，最有可能是什么？据威尔特介绍，他们获得的最多的答案是特朗普宣布退出和中国签订的第一阶段贸易协议。
Partly because it is eminently within the administration's power unilaterally to walk away, partly because it is not terribly bureaucratically complex for the administration to at least say it's going to step away from the deal, even if technically it doesn't leave the deal until after the election. And finally, of course, there is disagreement, a split within the administration overapproach to China generally and the agreement.
此外，还有专家预测，今年的十月惊奇有可能会是特朗普政府在南中国海上对中国采取军事行动。不过，乔治华盛顿大学的政治学教授劳拉·布朗认为，这种做法并不会有助于特朗普的竞选，因为这跟他的竞选主张是矛盾的。
One of the realities of President Trump's campaign is that he has argued that he has pulled us out of military engagements. He has told not only his supporters, but those on the other side that in fact everyone else, other Republicans and other Democrats, have been far too trigger happy or quick to engage in military activities.And so it would be a contradiction of his own belief that the United States needs to pull out of activities in the world and focus on the country itself for him to then engage in kind of wartime or military operations.
劳拉·布朗教授还认为，即使今年真的出现了十月惊奇，其影响力也会低于往届。
I do think that it is important to realize that in this incumbent presidential re-election campaign, many of the voters are already decided, and importantly, many voters are casting ballots early. So even if there were some sort of foreign international event or some kind of new revelation about President Trump diplomacy or even connections to Vice President Biden, there is a low probability that there would be impact on the electoral results.
在美国总统大选的历史上，十月惊奇多次发生。分析人士普遍认为，这些十月惊奇究竟是偶然事件，还是背后有人精心策划？这是一件很难被证明的事情。更难被证明的是，这些十月惊奇究竟在多大程度上影响了选举结果？毕竟选举是众多事件效应叠加的产物。
避免出现重大错误是美国总统特朗普以及前副总统拜登在首场辩论中的重要目标，而历届总统大选辩论也不乏塑造美国政治的历史性时刻。接下来我们就一起去回顾一下。
The candidates need no introduction. The Republican candidate, Vice President Richard M. Nixon, and the Democratic candidate, Senator John F. Kennedy.
从肯尼迪对阵尼克松到希拉里交手特朗普，总统辩论产生了特殊的，有时甚至是决定前程的时刻，在美国政治上留下了不可磨灭的印记。
Almost always, every debate cycle I can remember, something happened in one of those debates that despite the candidate showed the American people something that they needed to know about the candidate.
沃尔特·蒙代尔在挑战里根总统寻求连任期间，经历过两次这样的辩论时刻。
Reagan wasn't really following his script very well, and he'd get into these speeches, and he'd get lost in the middle of it. He'd forget where he's going.
The two-thirds of the defense budget pays for pay and salary, or pay and pension.And then you add to that food and wardrobe and all the other things, and you only have a small portion going for weapons.
We don't get too many opportunities to see the candidates unfiltered and side by side and on live television without the mediation of journalists or without the handlers right there affecting how and what they say.
艾伦·施罗德是东北大学的新闻学教授，他写了一本书，描述电视在总统辩论中的作用。从1960年肯尼迪和尼克松之间的第一场辩论开始。
Nixon, having just been released a few weeks earlier from the hospital, had lost a lot of weight, was very pallid, didn't really put on the makeup that he should have put on, and was sweating and was underweight and just didn't look well on camera.
As we know, Nixon refused to have any makeup.And so he looked like he had a shadow. For those who listened on the radio, they thought Nixon won. For those who watched TV, they thought, you know, Kennedy won.
弗兰克·塞斯诺是乔治华盛顿大学战略计划主任，曾任美国有线电视新闻网的白宫事务记者。
You know, there was the famous moment way back when Gerald Ford was running, where he tried to suggest that Poland was not part of the Soviet Empire.
There's no Soviet domination of Eastern Europe, and there never will be under a Ford administration.
If you go back and look, the moderator is almost sort of speechless.
玛丽·凯特·卡里教授政治学，是弗吉尼亚大学米勒中心的高级研究员。他是老布什总统当年的辩论撰稿人。布什1992年与罗斯·佩罗和比尔·克林顿进行了辩论。
One of the two of them had violated the rules, was going way over their time, and Carol Simpson was not enforcing the rules. George Bush.Does one of these, you know, basically start pointing at his watch as a signal to her to please enforce the rules. And the audience doesn't know the rules. And the audience thinks he's looking at his watch because he's got something better to do and he wants to go get a hamburger or something. And it totally backfired on George Bush.
In this instance, George Bush didn't want to be there. He didn't think he needed to prove himself to the voters in that way. And it's interesting, years later, when he was interviewed by Jim Lehrer about that moment, that's what he said. I didn't want to be there.
1984年，在与蒙代尔的第一次辩论中，不论罗纳德·里根的表现使人们产生了些什么疑问，但是他对自己年纪是否太大的疑虑应对得当，巧妙胜出。
And I want you to know that also, I will not make age an issue of this campaign. I am not going to exploit, for political purposes, my opponent's youth and inexperience.
Well, you know, I was laughing about it because.I thought it was a joke. But at the same hand, I think he landed a blow there. It was pretty effective. And between my laughter, there were a few tears coming down there.
最终蒙代尔以很大的差距输给了里根。美国之音雷迪什华盛顿报道。
世代相传的神话还有迷信，不仅反映文化习俗，它也可能具有警示意义。我们一起去了解一下。
没有人知道天鹅人的真假，但它的传奇无疑在西维吉尼亚州流传。
The Mothman story started here in Point Pleasant in November 1966. On the 15th of November, you had two young couples riding around the outskirts of town at night, about 11 o'clock, and they came across what they thought was just a large bird.It chased them in their car, chased them back into the city limits.
随后有更多目击一个巨大的鸟形生物的报告出现。
Most people that saw it described this as about 6 to 7 foot tall, grayish in color, large wingspan, 10 to 12 feet, and it had two distinct red eyes, about the size of baseballs. Nobody ever reported anybody being attacked or harmed or anything.
专家说，像天鹅人这样的生物是美国民间传说的一部分，它揭示了我们害怕或忧虑的一些事情。我们的理解是，世界上有些谜团是超越一般理解范围的。
The idea that there are non-human creatures that inhabit the earth and communicate and interact with humans is as old as human storytelling itself. Today we talk about UFO abductions, but in ancient Ireland andUp until the early 20th century, there were stories of people who were abducted by fairies. It's the same thing with mythical creatures like the Mothman or Bigfoot, that there might be creatures out there who inhabit the earth and share the same landscapes, but don't necessarily interact with us or even are known to us.
像天鹅人这样的故事可以帮助揭示人们和社区之间的关系。许多人相信天鹅人代表即将发生危险的信号。在这个例子里，要警告当地人有座桥坍塌，最终导致46人死亡。
The Mothman is more of a representation of the fact that people don't necessarily feel like people in charge, like their politicians or the people who are running factories and mines, can be trusted. So they need the help of this magical creature to warn them and protect them.
神秘的生物可能不是真的，但它们可能会对当地经济产生影响。当普莱森角欣然接受了天鹅人的传说，游客和他们的钞票都会一拥而入。
Well, our town was empty. Basically, we had very few stores, and the movie Mothman Prophecies came out, and I said to myself, we need a Mothman. So, I knew a guy. Took him about a year.And he made the Mothman. This town is busy every day because of the Mothman. He's done his job for Point Pleasant. He's really put us on the map.
根据组织者说，每年一度的天鹅人庆祝会大约吸引10,000游客。天鹅人商店和博物馆则是全年开放。
I guess it's whatever you're oriented to. I guess some people are more oriented to something a little supernatural.And twisted a little bit out of the mainstream.
The fact that he's not supposed to be real, but he's had several sightings, so that always interested me in reading about it. So,
mythical creatures in general, Bigfoot, always love even like the old monster movies. Just the fact that something like this, maybe not real,
could
maybe.
Be real.
Yeah.
天鹅人和其他神秘的生物是美国人学习他们的文化的方式，也是我们自说自话的故事。但根据专家说，他们不一定是虚构的。 美国之音记者梅卡尔西维吉尼亚州普莱森角报道。
好的，以上就是今天美国观察的全部内容，感谢您的收看，我们下次节目再见。